HarperCollins presents When They Go Low, We Go High, Speeches That Shape the World and Why We Need Them, by Philip Collins. Read by Philip Collins, Ben Onwukwe, Eric Myers and Helen Keeley.
Prologue. The Perils of Indifference. The Birth of Rhetoric. The beautiful ideas of rhetoric and democracy were born in the same moment, in the winter of 431 BC in Athens, when the statesman Pericles stood to deliver his funeral oration. It might seem grimly appropriate, as democracy struggles through yet another of its crises, that its birth should have been marked by a funeral oration. There are plenty of predictions that another doleful eulogy will be required soon. Democracy is going through a troubled time, and rhetoric is in the dock beside it. The chapters that follow have been written in the conviction that no funeral oration is needed for either. In his speech, Pericles commemorated the sons of Athens lost in the Peloponnesian War, but he also applauded the glory of the city and made a sparkling case for government with the consent of the people. The currency of persuasion in a democracy, he argued, is not force or authority, it is speech. The moment that fiat is replaced by consent is the moment that oratory begins to count. Rhetoric and democracy are twinned, their histories run together. In this book, I shall tell these parallel stories and mount a vigorous defence of the practice of politics in a time when cynicism has become the norm. The politics of ancient Athens and Rome are distant and unfamiliar to us today, except for a single unchanged element. The spectacle of a single person walking to a podium to persuade an audience remains now exactly as it was then. Very few disciplines survive 20 centuries. Nothing of the science of the period is of much more than curiosity value. The drama is still performed, but most of its stylistic conventions are anachronisms. Disciplines tend to date, positions are superseded, ideas fall into disuse, new frontiers are discovered. None of that is true of rhetoric. Reputations in the ancient republics were won and burnished by theatrical performance, and in politics today, they still are. Whether they know it or not, public speakers of all the succeeding ages owe a debt to Aristotle's The Art of Rhetoric and Cicero's De Oratore. Cicero gives us a portrait of the ideal orator. There was no separation, for him, between rhetoric and politics, so the orator needed to be steeped in political wisdom, to display a command of language and psychological insight into the audience, to be witty, shrewd, and funny. In an age in which speeches were delivered by heart, the orator needed perfect recall. They also needed a resonant voice, although not all of them have had it. Demosthenes practiced with pebbles in his mouth with the aim of improving his timbre. Abraham Lincoln was barely audible at Gettysburg. Winston Churchill sought medical help over his lisp. And John F. Kennedy's voice was often said to be too reedy for his grand words. The central point of De Oratore, what Cicero calls the topic, should be engraved over the desk of every speechwriter. Make sure you know your central point. This is advice that has worked for all speakers in every nation and every time, and will always work. The central point of this book is that liberal democracies are the best imaginable places to live, and that this claim needs to be compressed poetically into a clear message of hope. As I write, democracy is once again coming under threat from populists, and rhetoric is, like nostalgia, one of those things that are always said not to be as good as they used to be. The threat to democracy is linked to the attack on rhetoric. If we want to attend to the good health of our democracy, and we really must, then we need to attend to the integrity of the way we speak about politics. The Sophisticated Speechwriter. For many years, it was my job to write the words that carry public arguments. As the chief speechwriter to Prime Minister Tony Blair, I tried to draft words that did justice to the hopes and passions of politics, while at the same time respecting the limitations involved. It was a fascinating and privileged vantage point on the politics of Britain and its chief allies. If Blair's speeches feature prominently in the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?